I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Dr. Stephen Post. We're going to take calls with Stephen next hour here on Coast to Coast, so jump aboard. Perhaps you know someone who has dementia or Alzheimer's, and you've gone through these problems, and jump aboard and share your story. Your grandmother was an influence on you, wasn't she, Stephen?
Big influence. She was from Sheffield, England, where they make silver, and she came over to New York, and she was a Broadway dancer, and somehow my grandfather fell in love with her. And actually, he divorced Emily Post to get together with her.
Really?
So, yeah, that's the truth. But and she never forgave him, obviously. But my grandmother passed away what was probable Alzheimer's. And as a young guy, I would go to the nursing home. And that's where I learned so much. Because even though she was very distant at times, there were these moments of unbelievable lucidity. Very surprisingly, she might call me by name. She might have some insight. And I did assisted oral feeding with her, which is to say, you know, she couldn't feed herself, so, you know, you got to give her some help with the applesauce or whatever it might be. And I could always note these moments when her eyes just lit up, and it was as though love was alive, and I came to the complete belief that underneath this neurological deterioration, there is still a soul, if we can use that word. There is still a full being with love and kindness, and maybe in some ways a little bit ahead of us because we're so busy running around from point A to point B to get things done, we forget to stop and realize that the ultimate reality in this universe is kindness and love. And these folks, you know, they're not difficult if you know how to connect with them. And if you notice, that's a word that Larry Dossey uses a lot, notice the hints of their continuing self-identity. And I have lots of stories about that in this book, beautiful stories, inspiring stories.
How do people die from Alzheimer's disease?
Well, yeah, so what happens is they go into a final stage and they die for all different kinds of reasons. Some of them die of pneumonia. Some of them die because their brain just seems to shut down and certain functions are lost. So they die of all kinds of things. And one of the big questions, you know, what's going on before they die, quote unquote. To me, the most incredible thing about people were, I call them deeply forgetful. I don't even like to use the word dementia, George, because it's such a negative term. You know, it's like the word retard. You know, we don't use that much anymore. We We speak about people who are developmentally disabled, who are differently abled. I think we can learn a lot from people who are deeply forgetful. And in fact, in Japan, a lot of literature exists where they kind of look at these folks as almost enlightened because they're beyond the pressures and the stresses of chronological time. They're not worrying about past and present and future. They're just kind of living in the present. And if you take the time to connect with them, you know, I'm on the board of the Alzheimer's Poetry Organization in Brooklyn, and you have professional Alzheimer's poets. You can have 20 or 30 people with dementia come into a wonderfully big room and join in a circle, and they were not communicating for a long time, but if someone reads to them with animation and spirit and musicality, The Road Less Traveled, a poem that they'd all connect with somehow from earlier in life.
Robert Frost, right?
Chime in. Most of them will chime in for a line, sometimes for a whole verse. And then afterwards, they'll be, you know, able to converse at least lightly with their caregivers for a few minutes.
What is the average age of someone who comes down with Alzheimer's?
Okay, so that's a tough question. It's about 1 or 2% at age 60, and it doubles every 5 years. So, you know, let's just say 75 would be average. Maybe 70s to 80. It just depends on a lot of different factors.
All right, but if you have, let's say, 10 people in their 70s, how many generally will have this disease?
Possibly.
What percent?
Possibly 8 to 10%. And when you get
that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And when you get to age 85, it's probably 13 to 14%. But guess what, George? This is incredible. Everybody's saying, well, we got more and more Alzheimer's disease. Actually, the extent of Alzheimer's disease has gone down in the last 20 years. And it's being said that it's because people are more attentive to just healthy aging, you know, like you were talking about earlier. You know, watching your diet, being more ambulatory, getting more rest. In other words, what we do to live a healthy life for the sake of a good heart or just a good body generally and a good mind, that seems to be working. And so I'm quite optimistic that we'll figure out better and better ways to live lives that somehow preclude the possibility or the likelihood of Alzheimer's at these earlier ages.
Stephen, my mother is 93. She's as sharp as a tack. She still drives. I'm not so sure I'd get in a car with her, but I probably would have gotten in a car with her when she was in her 30s, for example. But she is as sharp as a tack. So why does a 93-year-old like her still have all these cognitive abilities?
Well, 93 years old. Look, there's a woman who was on the cover of magazines like Time and Newsweek 25 years ago, who was 123 years old. She was sharp as a tack. And so the fact that we age does not necessarily mean that we are all going to become deeply forgetful or quote-unquote demented. It's not something that affects everybody by any means. And so you should just count your blessings, but, you know, be careful when you're driving.
What is happening to some football players when they get clonked on the head?
Well, okay, so that is called chronic traumatic encephalitis. It doesn't take a concussion. That's actually a misunderstanding.
Just a bump, right?
Repeated bumps.
Yeah.
So the center for the old Pittsburgh Steelers, when Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback, was a guy named Smalley. He was a really great player. He never got knocked out, but you know, when you're a center in the NFL, every day, practice or in games,
you're hitting your head.
So it's that constant hitting that made the difference. And ultimately, you know, he died. He actually had all sorts of difficulties, and nobody quite understood how to handle it. No one thought there was such a thing as chronic traumatic encephalitis until a very, very brilliant neurologist at the University of Pittsburgh recognized it, and now it's widely understood. So when people get dementia, you know, by the way, it's not always a simple diagnosis. It's not typically just Alzheimer's or this sort of degradation of the hippocampus. It can be vascular. It can be related to someone having hit their head 1,000 times playing ice hockey in high school.
That's right.
It's a mix of things.
Or boxers that get popped in the head all the time.
Well, absolutely. So boxing, you know, they call it, you know, puncher syndrome and so forth. But that's something that's a big issue in the high schools now because, you know, a lot of people want their kids to be great football players, and I'm all for that, you know, and go on to whatever it might be, you know, and have scholarships and great careers. But we have to be careful, and most athletic directors in high schools and colleges now are being very, very careful, and the NFL has its protocols. So we just have to be more attentive to this because otherwise it's very harmful.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was going to be the next big thing, until it wasn't, because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How does dementia and Alzheimer's differ from Parkinson's disease?
Well, you know, so Parkinson's, anyone who has a diagnosis of Parkinson's, which is a very clear diagnosis, unlike Alzheimer's, they're going to eventually become more and more deeply forgetful. They're going to lose their capacity for conversation, so that is a dementia secondary to Parkinson's. But as I said earlier, you know, you can have dementia secondary to chronic traumatic encephalitis, or secondary
That's
to
right.
Alzheimer's, or secondary to frontotemporal lobe disease. So there are many things that you can have dementia that becomes secondary to a particular disease. Right, so dementia is like a cluster of symptoms involving memory and degrees of behavior and so forth, but it's caused by probably 30 or 40 different diseases. And in fact, depression can cause dementia, but it's actually not irreversible dementia, so we even call it pseudo-dementia in that case. But there's lots of different causes of dementia. And, of course, aging is is a major factor because it's the major indicator of the likelihood of Alzheimer's.
Well, with Dr. Stephen Post, we're going to take calls with Stephen next hour. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His latest book is called Dignity for Deeply Forgetful People. Where do people get that book, Stephen?
Oh, the usual places. Amazon, Johns Hopkins University Press has a nice website. You can order from your favorite local bookstore is fine, you know. It's doing pretty well, and it's making an impact around the country, so I'm really happy about
that. Good for you.
I wrote it for caregivers and affected individuals to think differently and not quite so negatively about this condition.
What is RED, Remembered Experiences of Death?
Yeah, so, the whole thing of near-death experience has come into a whole new level of consideration, serious consideration, by renowned scientists from many, many different fields. So this term was coined at New York University, where in October of 2019, Sam Parnia, who's the head of resuscitation research there and has written a lot of things about near-death experience, myself and about 20 other individuals, many of them the most distinguished individuals in critical care medicine, neurology, neuroscience, also positive psychology. We really wanted to understand more how people are transformed after these events. Do they become more forgiving? Do they have a deeper sense of purpose? Are they more empathic? And since positive psychology has come along since the year 2000, suddenly we could bring these incredible scholars together and we could have a big research program, and we're still working on it and assessing the extent to which these personal positive transformations occur. But then we had, this is mind-blowing, in November 2019 at the New York Academy of Sciences in New York City, we had this huge standing room only conference on what we call the remembered experience of death. It really just refers to the fact that this has come a long way since 30 years ago, and the good work of people like Raymond Moody and so forth. And so we're learning a lot more. He had 11 indicators of near-death experience. Now there are 50, and we published a classic paper, which is getting a lot of reference now, called The Study of Death and Recalled Experiences of Near-Death, believe it or not, in the annals of the New York Academy of Science in 2022. That's the best mainstream publication ever on this topic, Guidelines and Standards for the Study of Death and Recalled Experiences of Death, a Multidisciplinary Consensus Statement and Proposed Future Directions. I was astonished that there was so much serious attention to this, and we had people from all over the country, all over the world, suddenly saying, you know what, I do want to look into this.
Mm-hmm.
Not just woo-woo, but it's actually a very serious topic. And we know that brain cells now, by the way, they can be incredibly resilient. We're learning a lot about that. So even after medical death, brain cells, despite the effects of anoxia, can continue to have resilience for hours and even more.
How did so many ancient civilizations, without the benefit of science and technology and equipment, know the same things we're beginning to find out today?
You know, because there's such a thing as ancient wisdom. And, in our society, science is the coin of the realm. And so if you can bring empirical knowledge to a phenomenon like this, it's taken more seriously. But for those of us who appreciate history and the insights of people from all different periods of time, and some periods that are much more insightful than our own, obviously science is not the be-all and the end-all. But it's nice to have that conversation going on at the interface of science and great spiritual wisdom.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.